Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is the awesome word of the Lord.
This is from Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and I'm going to be reading it from the New King James Version, which is also, I think, up on the screen. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." The word of the Lord. Now, you might recall that we've been looking at Galatians for the last few weeks. We've looked at Galatians since the beginning of August. Was there our first time. We looked at Galatians 1 and 2 and 3, and now we're on the fourth chapter of Galatians. And I told you that Galatians was a book written to a group of people in the Roman province of Galatia. And Galatia, remember, is in Central Asia Minor, what is today Turkey. The Galatians were Celtic in origin. They were not Jewish. And Paul had planted a church in Galatia in one of his first missionary journeys. That church had really been alive in the Holy Spirit. They had been a group of people that knew Christ as their Savior. They were a worshiping community. But then sometime after Paul had been there, another group of missionaries arrived. And this group of missionaries, probably from Jerusalem, brought a new idea. And they said, in order to really be Christians, first you have to become Jews. So you have to subject yourself to the Jewish law. And then once you've done that, then you can accept Christ as your Savior, because he kind of completes the law. So you climb a certain direction yourself, and then Jesus gets you the rest of the way. That was their idea. Paul is saying, no, it doesn't work that way. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not a gospel of our following rules and climbing our way to heaven. The gospel is about the complete work of Christ on the cross. We grasp a hold of that. That's the gospel. A couple of weeks ago, some family members of mine, some cousins and some aunts and uncles, were up here in Tofty. We had a really nice family reunion. We spent some time at the park on Saturday night and had pulled pork, and it was a lot of fun. Before that, on Saturday, we divided up into small groups, and we went on different small expeditions. Some of them went hiking over at Sugarloaf Cove, and some of the family members went over to Temperance River, and a few people went up to the Alpine Slide, but the Alpine Slide was closed that day because there were showers, and that was kind of disappointing. But I took a group of people up to Four Mile Lake, and I see Al in the back here this morning, and Al and I went fishing up on Four Mile Lake about a month ago. But we were up 2 weeks ago, we were up on Four Mile Lake with some cousins, and as we were paddling around the lake there was a bald eagle perched up in a big dead white pine tree in the middle of the island there on Four Mile Lake. And that bald eagle just sat there and watched the water. You know, he was fishing, and we could paddle right up to the island and paddle right underneath that eagle. And he just looked down at us, and we looked up at him, and it was awesome. And then we kept paddling, and we saw another pair of eagles that were up in the sky, and they were just making these big circles, just riding the currents. And it seemed like one of those eagles had a white head, an adult bald eagle, and the other one wasn't quite white yet, so probably an immature bald eagle. They don't get their white heads until they're fully grown. And it seemed like that this might have been a family. One of them perched on the perch, the other two out fishing in a different way, with Junior maybe trailing after Papa. And I was thinking about that as I was reading the passage from Galatians this morning. Let me go back to that. I think I've lost my mark here, but there we go. Let me go back to this. Paul starts in chapter 4, and you can follow along with me if you've got a Bible, and maybe Michelle can go back to the reading up on the screen. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all. What Paul is talking about here is he's using the analogy of a Roman household. And I touched upon this last week, but just to bring it back to your attention, he's saying that the minor whose parent may have passed away is like a slave in the household. In fact, they probably are even bossed around by the slaves. Teachers would have been slaves in Roman wealthy families. And so they would have had a slave for a teacher, and the teacher would have said, "Now you read this passage. You read that book." And they might have even gotten swatted by a slave had they not done their homework. So a minor in a Roman household really was no different than a slave. But then when they grew up, they had all of the rights and freedoms and responsibilities as their parent would have had. They perhaps commanded large estates of land. They perhaps had slaves of their own on the property. And Paul here isn't commenting on the rightness or wrongness of slavery in and of itself, but he's saying that's kind of like the way that the Jewish people were before the fullness of time and Christ comes. Now, I was thinking about the bald eagles, and I was thinking about that bald eagle before it took to flight and started flying on its own. It was inside of the nest. It was being guarded inside of the nest by mom and dad. Everything that it needed was being brought to it by its parents, by the two parent eagles. They would bring worms and... I remember when I was a canoe guide in the Boundary Waters, one time we had quite a few fish, and we put the fish guts out on a rock in the lake, and we sat at the campsite, and we watched the eagle swoop down and grab the fish guts and bring them presumably up to the nest. And all that stuff is being provided by the parents. But once the bald eagle leaves the nest, not only does it provide for itself, but it has the freedom of flight. It'd be crazy to think that an eagle would want to jump back in the nest. And that's part of why Paul is using this analogy of the minor child. Now, Paul says, but it's under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. Now, he's talking to the Galatians here. So he's saying not only the Jewish people who were under the law before Christ came, but you before you knew Christ, you were under bondage to the gods and goddesses of Rome who weren't real. You're under bondage to those things that seem important in pagan society but really aren't. You know those things that keeping the grass nicely mowed, and that seems really important sometimes, and making sure that you look just right. That seems really important sometimes. And making sure you've got the nice clothes or whatever it is. School shopping season is coming up, and I'm amazed at the ads that are on TV about having the look. And, you know, that stuff seems so important. Paul is saying you're under bondage to that stuff. That's part of what he's saying. He's also saying that in the world there really are dark forces at work. There's Satan and his minions, and sometimes they manifest themselves as evil in the hearts of men. And he's saying, you're in bondage to that stuff. I know some of you have dealt with addictions, and you know that that can be a way of being in bondage to the elemental powers of this world. And then Paul says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. Theologians like to talk about this as the incarnation, the enfleshment of God. That's what incarnation means, the enfleshment of God. When the time was right, see, by that time, there were Jews dispersed throughout the entire Mediterranean basin. There were synagogues all over the place. By that time, Alexander the Great had conquered the eastern half of the Mediterranean, and he brought with him, even though he was Macedonian, he brought with him the Greek language. And everyone spoke Greek. And by that time, the Roman Empire had picked up where Alexander the Great had left off, and they'd built roads, and they'd instituted what's called now by historians the Pax Romana, the Peace of Rome. And so it was relatively safe to travel on these relatively well-engineered Roman roads and speak a common language, Greek, and to go from synagogue to synagogue sharing the message of this new covenant, the new Messiah that God had sent to save man from their sins. When the fullness of time had come, when the time was just right, God sent a Savior. When the time is just right in your lives, God sent a Savior. He sent a Savior as a man. You know, I always remember a story my dad told, and he'd read it someplace, but it was a story about birds. And as we get closer to wintertime, you might relate to this story. It was a story about a man who fed the birds in the winter. He had a big picture window, and one winter day, it was getting cold, and temperatures were supposed to be way below zero, and some of the birds that he fed were kind of out on the yard. And he knew that they were cold, and that some of them might freeze to death if they didn't find warmth someplace. And he thought, you know, if I just opened up my barn, maybe they would go into my barn and stay warmer. And so he went outside and he decided he'd try to chase them into the barn. Of course, they scattered, and they all landed back in the yard again. And he thought, oh, if only I were a bird, I could lead them into the barn. They would follow me. See, Christ came as a man, in part because he needed to be human to pay the price of human sin, but in part so that we would recognize him as a man who experienced life as we experience life. Paul says, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive adoption as sons. One of the things I think we make a mistake of as Christians is to think that the gospel is all about getting a ticket to heaven. You know, I agree to the right creed. I've read the Augsburg Confession, memorized it, and now I know my way to heaven. It doesn't really work like that. Paul says, Jesus came not just to give you a ticket to heaven, but so that you might be adopted as sons of God. Adoption. Now, adoption's pretty cool in the Roman world too. We can go back to the Roman world because that's the analogies Paul keeps drawing upon. In the Roman world, you could be adopted. Now, that wasn't very common, actually, in Jewish culture, but it was very common in Roman culture that you could be adopted. In fact, one of the most famous adoptions of his days was the adoption of a young man by the name of Octavius, who eventually becomes Augustus, who becomes Caesar. See, Julius Caesar died without a male heir. When he was getting to be an older man, he realized he wasn't going to have a son to take the family name and the family prestige. But he had a nephew by a sister, fairly poor, actually. Octavius was already a grown man, and Julius adopted him. And when he became Julius Caesar's adopted son, suddenly he had all the prestige and power of a Caesar. And you all know from Luke, from the first chapter of Luke, that it was under Augustus that Christ was born. It was when Augustus was ruling. So anyone in the Roman Empire would have known this, that adoption is powerful. And Paul is saying, you don't just get a ticket to heaven, you become adopted as sons. Now he uses the word sons not to slight women here, but because under Roman law, a son got all of the power and prestige. Paul's already said at the end of chapter 3 that in Christ there's no male nor female, Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. So he's including everybody here, but he's using the analogy of the adopted son. And he's saying, you're adopted. In fact, just the words that he says next, he says, then because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The Old Testament prophets had the Spirit of God, and they prophesied for a day, for a season, perhaps for a few years, and then in many cases, they no longer had the Spirit. It was a time that was special. We have the Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in us. Not only is God saying, you're mine, but He is ours. He lives in us. And look at what He empowers us to do. To cry out, Abba, Father. To say to God, Daddy, Papa. Now what's interesting about that is that most of Galatians is written in Greek. But for that word, Abba, he transliterates Aramaic. Who cares? Well, here's why. Because that's the language that Jesus spoke. There's one other place in the New Testament where we hear Abba, Father. And you remember where it is? Jesus, on the night that he's going to be betrayed, he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane and he knows that he's facing the most difficult time in his ministry. He is about to be arrested, scourged. He's about to take on the sins of the world and hang on the cross. And he lays on the ground in the Garden of Gethsemane and he cries out, Abba, Father, Daddy, be with me. If you can take this away from me, please do. But if not, your will be done. And he's at one with the Father. There's no barriers. Paul is saying that when you are an adopted son of God, there's adopted daughter, son, there's no barriers between you and the Heavenly Father. In your hour of greatest need, just like Christ, you can come before God and say, Daddy, be with me. Father, take away this, but your will be done, just like Jesus did. And then he says one other thing. So not only are we filled with the Spirit, there's no barriers anymore. He says, therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir. And we've talked about this. An heir of what? An heir of God. Now, I used to think, well, what good is that? God's immortal. He's not going to die. I mean, don't you only get your stuff if you're an heir when the dad dies? But that's not what he's saying here. Again, Roman customs. You have to kind of understand what the analogy is that he's drawing. In Roman law, when you become an adult, even if dad's still alive, you are jointly owners of everything that dad owns. That's the way it worked in Rome. You own everything along with dad. So what's he saying here? Remember what Jesus talked about for his whole ministry on earth. He talked about the kingdom, right? You are heirs of the kingdom. You're heirs of this creation that God has created. You're heirs of a life lived the way that God intended for you to live in community with each other. Where neighbor helps neighbor, where we lift each other up, where we are stretcher bearers for each other, and you are heirs of an eternal hope that nobody can take away from you. That's what you are the heir of. And so Paul says to the Galatians, he says, Galatians, Christians, don't climb back into a nest. Don't climb back into a place where you think you have to follow a group of laws in order to climb your way to heaven. Don't do that. Grow up. Fly as God intended you to fly on the wings of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please bow your heads and pray with me this morning before Generations comes back up. Lord, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son who died on the cross for us. We thank you that that gift means that we are your children and that there's no barriers between us and you. That whenever and whatever is going on in our lives, we can bring it to you. Lord, we thank you that through Jesus we are co-heirs of the kingdom. We pray that we would live out that inheritance in freedom, that inheritance by being truly the men and women that you call us to be. We pray this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.